This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And he makes like Randy Moss when he went to New England would be what I'm talking about. Randy was a distraction in Minnesota and with the Raiders. Basically, I think looked like he quit playing football and caring about football with the Raiders, and then was immediately revitalized. And he's in the Hall of Fame in part, I think, because he had a second chapter with New England that got him looking again like the dude that was a phenom with the Vikings. And the Belichick and Brady tandem there got him to take football seriously again. Mike Tomlin, everybody wants to play for him. History of the Steelers. Come here and you get an Aaron Rodgers that all he wants to do is put all his time and energy into winning.
Yeah.
So that's what I hope. But the way this is going, the way this is playing out makes me think that that's impossible. Because it's more proof that the man is driven by things that go beyond just football, and like there's even speculation that he is enjoying this.
He probably is. He likes being in the news on his own terms, which he is right now.
That there's a fetishizing on his part of being the center of attention and having the sports media world talking about him every day and wondering and trying to guess and gauge and figure out where he's going. So if that's how he's acting now, that would not make me feel any better about him turning over a new leaf once he gets here.
Well, they've already indulged him by not like putting an ultimatum down. They're already indulging this kind of stuff.
So you know what that is? That's going back to Tomlin as the great enabler. He's already enabling Aaron Rodgers' diva behavior right now.
He wants so badly to employ him that he is letting him call the shots here.
Which is why I think if he came here, there'd be no guardrails that would be put up. They'd let Aaron Rodgers do whatever the hell he wants. Like, I've heard other hosts, and I don't have the quotations written down here, but I've heard other hosts say things like, and not just here, but on networks, well, what are they going to do when Aaron Rodgers goes on Pat McAfee? I don't know, nothing? What's Tomlin going to do? Hey, you shouldn't have brought up like that audible, or you shouldn't have brought up the fact that I wanted you in this situation to do A, you preferred B, and that's why we lost the game. Why did you do that to me? I mean, we didn't hear about Russell Wilson butting heads with Arthur Smith until after the fact, and it didn't take Russell Wilson out of the lineup. You have these two minds that are disagreeing on things vociferously, and they still rolled Russell Wilson out there as they were losing game after game after game at the end of the year. Tomlin, I think, when it comes to big personalities and big stars, I think he's incapable of putting his foot down with those guys. And Aaron Rodgers is one of the absolute biggest. I mean, his resume exceeds Tomlin. He's won four MVPs, and he's just as many Super Bowl wins.
He doesn't get the quarterback position right I think on some level he like doesn't trust, he'll never admit this, he's too headstrong, but he doesn't trust himself to like nurture a younger player at the position. So what does he go for? Ready-made quick fixes. It's like, I don't know how to cook, I'm just going to go buy something at the store that's expensive that might not even taste good, but somebody else is doing it for me. And so that's what Aaron Rodgers is.
Well, I think we've seen a change from Tomlin on that. My personal feeling when Roethlisberger retired was that he wanted to win with one of his guys that he's groomed or he's brought up. That way he could get all the credit. Now that it's not working, I think he's just trying to find anybody who he can win with just to keep the winning going, just to keep the winning train moving. And if that means turning things over to Aaron Rodgers, well, so be it. I'll have to do that. Dulac put this in his chat again today, Malzi. Like, more confirmation that this is a Mike Tomlin thing and Mike Tomlin is driving the interest in Aaron Rodgers despite all of this, like, momentary glee of, oh, well, the Vikings are out. That means he's definitely coming to the Steelers. Nope, going to take his time and might even drag it into the season and wait for somebody to get injured, like Aditi just told us and like Pomp has theorized for a long time. Always wonder where Pomp's getting information like that, by the way, because he does have very good sources that he never betrays. And always, I feel like he says something is his opinion, but he's actually getting it from someone who's very high up within organizations. There should be consequences for Tomlin. Like, he should be made to pay if this is what he wants. He gets his way, and then it doesn't work.
There won't be.
I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. There won't be, though. Because the owner thinks that he walks on water.
But at what point does the owner, like, have some kind of great awakening?
Do you really want, like, to think hard about the answer to that question? Given the owner's behavior to this point?
But if the owner doesn't like Aaron Rodgers and doesn't like everything that comes with Aaron Rodgers...
How do we know that, like, for sure, that the owner doesn't like, quote-unquote, everything that comes with Aaron Rodgers?
I guess we don't. I guess we can only infer based on, like, the type of football boss we think Art Rooney is and his tolerance level for things and the things that have annoyed him or ticked him off
over the years. I mean, he put up with increasing levels of shenanigans from Antonio Brown for a pretty long time.
Oh, my God, was there shenanigans.
I think Art Rooney, like a lot of owners, is willing to put up with a lot if he thinks it can lead to winning. I think this idea that he's going to somehow put his foot down as this strong patriarch of the franchise figure is just woefully
misguided.
Or maybe
as long as they're making money every year and winning more games than they lose, he doesn't care.
Congratulations, he owns an NFL team, so yes. The first part of that will always be in play.
Donnie, your reaction to the Aaron Rodgers camp now leaking to people that he's in no rush at all to make a decision, despite the fact that the team he was dying for and praying for said, no, we're good.
I do think there's an interesting new layer to consider to this, and Mike Florio brought it up, Aditi brought it up, and I'm sure they're not the only ones that have brought it up or are thinking about it. He really could just wait this thing out the whole time. Like, he's not the one that I'm necessarily upset about here in this whole saga, because he's the free agent. He is free to do whatever he wants. He could retire if he wants to. So he's the one that's free to wait on people. I just don't think it's in the Steelers' best interest to wait this whole thing out, because they could look like fools, kind of like they did at receiver last year. But what if a true contender would lose its quarterback sometime this offseason, whether it be OTAs or training camp? He really could wait it out the whole time.
If Joe Burrow
just give him a call, like, hey, if we lost so-and-so, you know, like
if Joe Burrow if Joe Burrow tore up his knee, and I don't want to see that happen because I love watching Burrow play, and he did it in the middle of training camp where Rodgers could actually come in to a ready-made situation with Chase and Higgins, I know that he's not mobile anymore and their offensive line might be spotty. You don't think he would just be calling them up saying, all right, here I am?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, he would.
And realistically speaking, they would probably say, okay, yes, what's the price? He'd be like, I'm throwing to Chase, who's the best catch and run guy maybe in the entire league, and Higgins is a true deep threat down the field.
Donnie raises, I think, a thought-provoking point here. If you're frustrated with the way this Rodgers thing is going, and you're going to blame someone or something for the way it's going, is it more right to blame the Steelers or more right to blame Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers annoys me. The Steelers are the reason this is happening.
100%.
Like Aaron Rodgers
has the freedom to take his time here. He's the man that is the free agent.
Like, it's being mad that a guy, like, I remember, just to use a hockey analogy, it's being mad that Marian Hossa, although I guess the thought was he, like, reneged on an offer with the Penguins that they thought he was going to sign and then went to the Red Wings. But, like, if a free agent doesn't pick your team and goes somewhere else, even if you think, like, he should want to come to your team, that ain't his problem. Donnie's 100% right. Like, he just cut right through the BS. Aaron Rodgers' whole shenanigans and loving to be the center of attention might kind of grate on you as a fan. You should only be mad at one party here, and it's the Steelers. This wouldn't be a thing if they weren't allowing it to be a thing. It's the same basic principle I use when I say you might be mad at Mike Tomlin for X, Y, and Z, so, but Art Rooney allows it and enables it to happen.
So that's why I think the Milroe thing is actually potentially associated with this or connected to this. Let's say they have the sense now as an organization that Aaron Rodgers could just hang out for a while. If you go out and sign Joe Flacco, okay, or somebody like that, you occupy a spot on your roster with a veteran quarterback who thinks he's going to be, at worst, your number two quarterback. If you pivot off of that and you say, you now turn your attention to the draft, and you take Jalen Milroe in the third round, well, you could easily have a quarterback depth chart, and I know these two styles are very different, but just follow me for a second. Hear me out. If you have Mason Rudolph and Jalen Milroe after the draft as your one and two and Skylar Thompson as your three, and that's who you think you're going to camp with, well, if Aaron Rodgers wakes up and calls you in August and says, I want to come play for you, you can then just slot everybody down a spot. Rudolph can become your backup. Milroe becomes your third string guy as a rookie, and you tell Skylar Thompson goodbye. But if you sign Flacco or Jameis, they won't sign Jameis Winston, but somebody like that, I think it's much harder to do that. Like, I think it's easier for them right now if they're going to, like, cover their bases and say, well, Aaron Rodgers is not going to come here on our timetable, but we also don't want to completely shut the door on him.
Milroe's the
let's
way
go
do it.
or any rookie quarterback, as long as it's not, but like, man, Jackson Dart, a first
round
pick.
What a waste of a third round pick that would be on a quarterback long shot when you probably need to draft another starter there.
The only way I think the draft pick would really just end any kind of chance of Aaron Rodgers coming here would be if they took the guy in the first round,
which would be Dart at this point.
Sanders if he slipped, I guess.
Donnie did really cut through. Nice little epiphany style statement there, though. I mean, but
think about, like, that second scenario I laid out.
Yeah, I know.
Could you imagine if they signed, say, Flacco, and then they have Flacco and Mason Rudolph and Skylar Thompson, and then Rodgers calls them in the summer and says, you know what, I will come to Pittsburgh, and they bring in Rodgers, and then everybody moves down a spot, and what do you know? Mason Rudolph is back to being the third string quarterback here. If that happened, we take calls from people that obviously were excited. They'll get excited about Rodgers, even though they're saying right now they're not. But you'd have an equal amount of people that would feel like Rudolph was getting an absolute raw deal again and was getting screwed over by the
100%.
Steelers. 15 minutes away from Judge Donnie. It's almost time for us to feed the need with the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. March 25th, our Giant Eagle Feed the Need Radiothon will be raising money to provide meals for our neighbors in need. Text NEED to 50155, and your donation will provide meals locally. Brought to you by Aetna, Isley's, Beano's, and Greater Pittsburgh Auto Dealers. All the details at 937thefan.com. You can go to my Twitter and find our PM Team Bracket Challenge. Deadline is noon tomorrow when the official, unofficial tournament starts, the round of 64. Half of the money goes to the winner. The other half goes to the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. Robert Morris, my wife, has them advancing all the way to the Elite Eight, and she's in the pool.
She's got a St. Peter's run coming from them.
Jeff Hathorn in studio with us. He was over there today.
My daughter had St. Francis in the Final Four just to do
no
that.
No way.
Just as a joke.
That's a Mrs. Football move right there, Don.
But if she
My mom
been
went
right.
to Bobby Moe, she might have them going on a run.
I didn't know that about your mom.
Yeah. Edinburgh, then Bobby Moe. She entered that transfer portal.
How was the NIL, Donnie?
Oh, she got big bucks from Bobby Moe.
That was back when it was Robert Morris College, probably.
What is Jeff Hathorn's Final Four? Has he made one yet?
I've done a couple. I think it's
No, you're not one of these guys that has multiple brackets,
we
have, are
I
you?
Did two in our thing. And I think it's like Houston, Duke, St. John's, and I'm trying to think.
So you're not as bold as Jay Billis, who picked every game in the tournament and came up with the Elite Eight, all ones versus twos in the Final Four ones.
Now, I really thought Clemson, it's just that they see Houston in the Sweet 16.
So what?
I love Houston's defense. I like the way they play.
Houston's a Jamie Dixon team on steroids, basically, mm-hmm. in every way.
Yes.
Better, just every guy on that team looks like they're 32 years old with like a mortgage, three kids, and the 40 minutes they get on the court is a respite.
There's a part of me that enjoys when all the insiders get on one team and then they lose in the first round.
You know who I want to see make a run just because I would win a couple $100 because I made a dumb bet on them to three-peat as UConn? And I actually think, like, if they ever just decided, hey, for 40 minutes we're going to play defense, they can beat anybody in this tournament. But they don't really like to do that.
Some breaking news involving a former Steeler. We'll get to that in a second. But first, what Jeremy Fowler, who keeps promising that he's going to come on the show, and we haven't been able to find a time that works. Now that he's the next Adam Schefter, he's a little bit more.
He's a huge basketball dude, so he's probably.
Oh, is he?
Oh,
well, he went to Florida. I think
when we would play, you know, at camp, like he was,
he'd
like
get
6'4".
After it.
He'd get after it.
I think these
not like Rob King get after it, but he'd get after it.
I heard Rob King took those games like they were Final Four games.
I'm telling you, it's like he was trying out for the high school team.
Man, I'd love to see him go toe to toe with Starkey then, because Starkey's another hustler in those games. He's
King,
running down every loose ball.
Him. If King doesn't want Starkey,
he's
to get
destroying
a shot.
Him.
If it's in a 5-on-5 setting, if King doesn't want Starkey
I don't agree
to get
with
a
that.
Shot off, he's not getting a shot
he's
off.
He's a really good athlete. I mean, he was quarterback of Washington.
My whole point about Starkey is always, if Joe can get his shot off, he's going to get buckets. But if Joe's got to run off like 10 screens. It's like one of those kids from a low major. It's like he's catching the ball 30 feet away and heaving it.
Anyways, so Fowler saying on NFL Live just a moment ago that the Giants are getting impatient regarding this Aaron Rodgers saga. Here's why that's interesting. If the Giants went out and did sign, say, Russell Wilson, then Aaron Rodgers would really only be down to one team. And I think as long as he has options open, he feels like he can kind of dictate things and play the field. Whenever one of those options dry up, I wonder if he panics somewhat and just says, well, I don't know if the Vikings are going to come back around. I don't know if another starting quarterback is going to get injured. I might as well go with the sure thing, which is this team and the money they're offering me right now.
For a normal human, I would agree. But Aaron seems like that guy, everybody's going to think I'm going to panic and do this, so I'm going to wait till May.
Is that how you feel right now that this is going to be?
No, listen, there are things I know about certain players. I know nothing about Aaron Rodgers. I don't know what he's thinking. I'm not going to sit here and try to fool anybody.
But how does that affect the way the Steelers are trying to conduct business?
They're going
to
be, just like they were with Brandon, they're going to be patient. They're going to sit and wait.
Well, how did that go with Ayuk?
It was on the goal line. They just got stuffed.
They had a chance.
First and goal. Four straight times.
And then we had to hear about how Van Jefferson was intriguing.
Here's the thing. In August or in September when the season opens, if Aaron's the quarterback and he's playing well, is anybody really going to care about what's happening right now?
No, but things have to be set up, I think, a certain way for a 41-year-old quarterback to succeed and do well here. And him waiting until 2 weeks before the season starts to make up his mind, I don't think is really putting him in position to play well here.
Do you think Aaron is going to really change the Steelers? Are they going to change their offense to cater to him?
Yes.
Is that the big hang-up right now?
I think Mike Tomlin, if they get him, would tell Arthur Smith, you do what that
Wait,
guy wants
Jeff,
to do.
You don't think they will? I think Aaron's going to do what Aaron wants.
Ben did for a little bit. I will say that. But do you think he's going to come in and they're going to change everything?
I do. Especially if they've waited this long for him, like a sad puppy. Yes. He's smart, Rodgers, very smart. And if he's going to know I can get whatever I want out of them. They've been sitting here waiting for me the whole time. He's not going to come in like a shrinking violet, I would think, and be like, whatever you guys need me to do, he's going to say, we're going to do this, 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 and this.
And if they
by the way, you're signing Randall Cobb.
And if they think they're getting something different than Aaron Rodgers for the first 15 years of, or first 18 years of his career, well, then that's super naive, and then that's like shame on you situation, or shame on me situation, I mean. Like, you're trying to talk yourself into Aaron Rodgers comes here and we get him to play by our rules. He's never done that. So, do you actually think he's going to be here at the end of the day now that the Vikings are out?
I hate to be this. I don't know. I don't have a sense. I mean, the
Steelers
like to go are just
take
sitting.
Some ayahuasca
and I just
and
I talked to
it?
Somebody today and they're just like, we're waiting.
All right, what's your reaction to that story that you see on the TV screen in here right now? Milroe, Tomlin dinner.
You take care of all your options. You look at all your options. If Milroe's there in the third round, maybe that's an option.
What's more likely, Milroe in the third round, or they actually pull the trigger on Dart in the first? If he's there.
Milroe in the third.
So do I. I think the same thing.
Man, if they go D-line in the first and then they just use their next pick, unless they trade Pickens between now and then.
I think there is a Casey Hampton in that first round.
But I'm saying, like, if they...
Who, the kid from Michigan?
Yeah.
The idea...
Oh, my God, that's awfully big of you to say that.
Grant?
I know. Grant is...
Yeah, I just...
I think he's a hell of a player.
If they take a D-lineman, they don't trade Pickens to get, like, a second maybe back somehow or even another third, and their next pick is an obvious project quarterback. It just...
Their solution...
Like what the hell are they doing? Anything.
Their solution at defensive tackle seems to be quantity over quality. Let's just sign a new guy every day and hope that we can do it by committee.
Are they going to surgically attach all the best parts of these players and make a Voltron out of bums?
And that's the thing. That doesn't mean that they're not drafting D-line either, because all these guys are 1 years and none of them are making anything that's of significance.
All right.
What do you think of Michael Irvin's like acid-washed camouflage Canadian tuxedo he's wearing? Is that what that looks like to you, Pony? It looks like acid wash denim.
I don't know if there's different shades to it or if it's just the way the light is reflecting off it.
No, I think it's like a camo pattern. It's one of the most audacious pieces of attire I've ever seen.
Man, every time he's come on with us, he's been tremendous.
He
always brings it, man.
He really has.
He gets very fired up and wound up in a good way.
I have a quick question for you guys. What do you think of Whaley saying that the Steelers are nailing it in free agency and that they're set? They can pick anybody in the draft because they have their needs.
I like Doug a lot. I saw that on our Twitter page and on the website. I saw that. I like Doug. Doug has forgotten more about how to run a team than I'll ever know. I think that is wildly off base.
See, I thought you were going to say Doug thinks they're whaling it because they're secretly trying to build a team that's not very good to help themselves in the draft next year. Because I've heard him allude to
Line. They're whaling it, not nailing it?
Yes.
What is going on with you today?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Whaling it?
Yeah. He's Doug Whaley.
I got where he was going.
Okay, I'll retract my statement here.
Byron Leftwich is now the offensive coordinator at Colorado.
Wow.
Why did he never get a sniff from the Steelers?
There's something there, and I could never get a firm answer, but there's just something that happened at that ending that it just wasn't going to mesh back together.
He was very close to becoming a head coach in the NFL, and it sounds like if Jacksonville's GM wasn't an incompetent boob, he would have been their head coach a few years ago.
But he was Trent Baalke at the time, and he was and remains an incompetent
boob. Jordy Nelson then be an assistant coach if Farron comes in?
Who is it like Donnie, think of a hilarious player on those Packers offenses from like 2009,
John
2010
Kuhn.
That could become.
Oh, Kuhn's a really good one. He's from
John
Shippensburg.
Kuhn, yes. How old is John Kuhn right now? Like 39, probably.
You know who Starkey would say? The ex-Buffalo Bull, James Starks.
Yeah, you're exactly.
I took James Starks and Drew Willie, and we almost won.
And
a
we
national
barnstormed to the national title, beating Ohio State in the horseshoe in the snow.
What if it is the actual JerMichael Finley?
Oh, Kuhn would be great. He'd be the fullbacks coach for no fullbacks.
They just let it be. You kidding me, Jeff? People here would just be like, suit him back up. He's ready to play, right?
Absolutely.
All right, Jeff.
They'd yell Heath whenever he caught the ball.
Enjoy Friday.
Thank you. I believe the score right now in the season, and Judge Donnie, Four wins for Filippone, attorney at law. One win for Mueller Esquire. Is that what you guys have?
How many? 4-1
4-1
No, I've won at least two or three.
So 4-2
So now we just have more cases that have been tried? You don't adjust your number?
I know I've won four.
I don't know. I don't keep score. Like any good lawyer, I'm just focused on the case at hand.
All rise.
Okay.
I don't even know what's on today's docket.
Neither do I.
Well, it was just that's
only Filippone knows.
No, it was just handed to me from the whatever they call the desk where they get all the cases that come in. I know there's a fancy word for it, but I can't think of it right now.
The docket? The Darnell docket?
Docket was the first word that popped into my head, but I thought it was fancier than that.
No, I think it's just a docket.
All right. With Jared Jones dealing with elbow discomfort, should Bubba Chandler start the season in the Pirates rotation? Malzi arguing for, Filippone arguing against.
Well, Judge, you tell me who goes first here.
Mr. Mueller, you may go first.
Yes, he should. Bubba Chandler should obviously. Thank you, Judge, by the way. It's nice to be in the courtroom again.
Sucking up as you.
This Pirates should absolutely put Bubba Chandler in the rotation to start this season for one simple reason. He's pretty much ready to go already. The stuff plays. Yes, it would be a reaction, a direct one to Jared Jones getting hurt, but and some people would say, oh no, you're starting his clock right away, and oh no, he'll be super two, and oh no, this or that or the other thing. He'll toll a year of service time right away. So what? Your team spent very little money improving its roster with outside free agents, doing things the way that most other teams do. The least that you could do in this situation is bring up your best prospect right from the jump, bolster your pitching staff in the process, I think actually excite a pretty depressed fan base right now, a pretty frustrated fan base, and make your team better. The window with Paul Skeens is not going to be open very long. That is why it was such a shame this offseason that the Pirates did not act accordingly when they tried to augment their roster or didn't try to augment their roster. And that's exactly why doing something like bringing up what is probably one of your obvious best five starting pitchers right off the jump would be something that would show that you understand the gravity, the urgency of the situation. He's not as polished as Paul Skeens, and they all say that Skeens needed that time in the minor leagues to refine some things. I think that's just a way to put a nice bow on it. I think if Paul Skeens had started the season with the Pirates last year right from the jump, he'd have basically been this exact version of himself. Bubba Chandler might not be that good, but he's close. And more to the point, he would show, bringing him up, Pony, I've got 10 more seconds at least. Bringing Bubba Chandler up right off the jump here would show that you're serious about trying to do something no one seems to think you're serious about right now, and that's putting a winning baseball product on the field.
Mr. Filippone.
Once again, Mr. Mueller tries to make up for his lack of research and facts in a case with powerful rhetoric. And I don't think that cheap stunt by Mr. Mueller is going to work on venerable Judge Donnie Football. Look, everything about how this would give them such a shot in the arm and how Bubba Chandler would just come in and be one of their fantastic pitchers. Donnie, I'd like to submit Exhibit A to you on this one, and that is Bubba Chandler's spring training earned run average with the Pirates. I'm entering this into discovery right now. 19.29 ERA. Oh, but wait, there's more. A small sample size. Everyone's just trying to get their sea legs under them in spring training. Okay. 2024 minor league season ERA for Bubba Chandler. 3.08. Good. Respectable. Not bad. Not elite. Let's not pretend here like the man shot through the ranks and dominated each level of the minor leagues like Paul Skeens did last year. And, Your Honor, I'd like to finish with this. We know the Pirates are what they are. Mr. Mueller, in his rousing speech, tried to talk about the sorry state of the team. So, if your team's not going anywhere, why would you want to burn a year of service time on a player that if he does get called up, what do you know? Fantastic. You go from 72 wins right back to 76 wins. What a coup for the Pirates, and you've burned a year of service time just to help yourself get a little bit closer to 500, but still never close to the ultimate goal of making the playoffs. Your Honor, that's my argument.
Mr. Mueller, your close.
I'd like, first, Judge, thank you to point out that one of our attorneys at law who actually listens to the show has pointed out that Pony committed an unauthorized practice of law in the air by formally declaring himself an attorney at large. So he should be actually
remanded to custody. Well, tell that attorney to mind his own effing business. He's not in the courtroom right now.
Well, that attorney, I'm just saying, you're lucky I don't just call the cops right now and hold you
he's
in contempt
attorney.
Of Judge Donnie's court.
He's an attorney. He's not the
Judge,
district
I'd like to
attorney.
Tell,
he's
I'd
not
like
the
you
president
turn,
of the United States.
Okay, I'd like to have my time back completely here.
Go ahead. I'm fine with that. Give him his give
time
him,
granted.
Give him 5 minutes. He's not going to make a winning argument here.
You know, Counselor Filippone wanted to point out that Bubba Chandler's spring training numbers were indicative of a guy who maybe should not be brought up right away. Kevin Newman, I will remind you, hit about 700 in spring training a couple of years ago and then reverted back to being Kevin Newman not long after the season started, i.e. he stunk. So I think we should probably throw most spring training stats out the window like any sane, sensible person would. Furthermore, Counselor Filippone pointed to Bubba Chandler's overall ERA of 3.08 in the minors as being good but not great. You know what is great? An ERA of 1.83. You know where Bubba Chandler posted that? AAA Indianapolis against presumably the best competition he was going to face last year. He was ridiculous in seven starts. He was elite. He struck out more batters per nine innings. He gave up fewer hits. He inhibited home runs at a higher level. He was better when the competition got better, and that's why he should, in fact, start with the Pirates this season.
In a minute, Filippone.
Yeah, don't fall for that again, Judge Donnie. We got a counselor over here who was comparing grapes to mangoes, basically, by citing a Kevin Newman spring training campaign from years ago. I don't know. Here's one that might be more relevant and more topical and more recent, Judge. Last year, spring training, Jared Jones was not ticketed or slated to make their opening day rotation. 11 and one-third innings, zero runs allowed, 10 strikeouts, a .79 whip. So when you're, I don't know, trying to make a team and trying to make a rotation, your numbers in spring training seemed or should count a lot more. Performance more important because you're not locked into a spot a la Andrew McCutchen or Paul Skeens right now. So the Kevin Newman corollary here, whatever the hell that was.
Care to respond to the second part of what I said?
Should have absolutely no bearing on this. In seven starts, whipty friggin' do. Let's pull up in seven starts what, I don't know, Chase Anderson did at AAA for the Pirates last year. Donnie, I'm done because I don't have any more time.
And because he didn't have a good argument against the Indianapolis part of that,
you can't
which is
allow
why
for
he spent
him to,
50
Donnie,
seconds.
You can't let him say that. Dump that and strike that from the record
right
now.
It's gone. It's gone.
He's still arguing.
Thrown out.
Thank you.
Bailiff.
Get the bailiff in here to beat his ass is what you should do.
Already risen, I see. In the case of Bubba Chandler starting the season on the Pirates opening day roster, I find my favor in the hands of Mr. Filippone on this one.
Justice is not only blind, but apparently deaf and dumb as well.